Well, I'm sure you all remember the last time I was here, and you've all prepared by reading the rest of which book? What are we going to do? Oh, you don't remember. Oh, okay. Well, we'll have a little review then. We're going to do the last half of the book of Ruth today. I was here almost a year ago, and we did the first two chapters of Ruth, and I would like to finish the book today, Lord willing. But let's go back to Ruth chapter 1. There is a verse in Ruth chapter 1 which I'd like to go over because that theme, there's a string. There are a couple of strings that go through the book of Ruth, and they're here in chapter 3. And so I'd like to pick it up in the beginning so we can understand what's going on. You remember when we first started the book of Ruth, I said it was during the time of the judges and that there was a famine in the land. And God said all the way back when he first gave his word to Moses, he said that when your children, the children of Israel, stray away from me and their hearts grow cold towards me, I will send a famine in their land. And he does this to bring the people back to himself. Elimelech, the husband of a family whose wife was Naomi and had two sons, and this little family was in a little town called Bethlehem. And he takes his family and he leaves, and he goes across the Jordan River outside of the household of God, outside of the promised land, away from God's people to a place where God has cursed the people, to the land of Moab. And Elimelech, whose name is My God is King, has to go and basically sell himself to the people of Moab to get a job there because he's trying to make a living for his family when God said, if you'll just turn back to me, I will meet all of your needs. And I talked about how this happens among believers sometimes. We take our eyes off the Lord and we put our eyes on the things of this world and we try to make ends meet in a beggarly fashion when God has promised that he'll give us all the riches of himself. And so because Elimelech wouldn't listen to what God said, he dies in the land of Moab. And he has two sons, and they marry two Moab women, which God said you weren't to do. For 10 generations, you weren't to do it. And yet, they marry two Moabite women against God's command. And they die. And then Naomi takes herself, and she is going back to the land of Israel, and the two daughters are walking with her, and she counsels them to go back to their households, back to their mother's house, back to their gods, and get a husband, because she says, I'm too old, I don't have any children, I cannot help you anymore. And Ruth makes the statement that she's going to go with her. And we have that very, very beautiful passage in Ruth chapter 1. And Ruth in verse 16 says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee from me. And I told you how when Ruth makes this commitment to Naomi, she is committing her entire life. She just didn't say, I'm going to take care of you in your old age until you die and then come back. She says, I'm going to stay where you stay until you die, and where you die, that's where I'll die. And where you are buried, that's where I'll be buried. And I told you that as a Moabite, she would be despised, she would be hated, she was an outsider, she spoke with a different dialect, she dressed differently, she looked differently, and everybody would look at her and say, there is the woman, the cursed woman, the Moabite, who married one of ours and he died. And everywhere she went, there would be this whispering behind her back. And yet, she was going to go over there and live as a beggar. She was going to go over there and she was going to glean from the fields. She was going to pick up what was left over in the fields and bring it back and take care of Naomi, this old woman, until the day she died, because she loved her. And then we have this verse, which comes in verse 21 of chapter 1. And I told you that sometimes the words that we say without thinking, and how sometimes our words can hurt our brothers and our sisters so much. And we should be very careful to bridle our tongues and to think before we speak. As Ruth has committed her entire life, her entire future, she has no hope of getting a husband back in Israel. She's a cursed woman. No one's going to marry her. She crosses the Jordan River as a young woman. I'm sure she's carrying all the worldly possessions that they have for both her and Naomi. And they climb all the way down from the other side of Moab, down about 5,000 feet to the Dead Sea. And then they cross the Jordan River, and they have to come up 4,000 feet on the other side, up to the little town of Bethlehem. And as they come up over the ridge and they come into the town of Bethlehem, all the women gather around Naomi and they recognize her and they see how much time has taken out of her. And they say, could this be Naomi? She must have aged a tremendous amount in 10 years. And listen to the words of Naomi. As she's standing there and all the women are gathered around her, and they're all consoling with her, and they're all comforting her, and standing behind her is this young woman with all this burden on her back who has given everything to take care of her. And Naomi says this, and she says to the women who gathered around her, call me not Naomi, that is pleasantness, but call me Mara, meaning bitterness. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. How do you think Ruth felt? If you were standing behind Naomi and she said those words, how would you feel? I came back with nothing. I went out full, but I came back with nothing. Was Ruth nothing? Was her love and her commitment and her sacrifice nothing? Sometimes we say things, and I'm sure that pierced Ruth, and we're going to see why it does pierce Ruth, and it comes out. Every word that we say, God says, is going to be recorded, and is going to be played back to us when we finally stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is going to hold every word accountable. Every word. And the same thing here. Even here in the Old Testament, we have an indication that that is going to happen. And we're going to see that in chapter 3. Remember that verse where she says, I came back empty. Now that's chapter 1. Then we get into chapter 2. And chapter 2 is where Ruth, having come back with Naomi, they're there in their little, I can imagine what it was like having lived overseas in Africa in a culture very, very similar to the situation for a number of years. They were living in not much of a place. It was probably about 8 feet by 8 feet mud hut with a little roof on the top and a doorway, and it wasn't much to live in, but this was all they had. You see, neither one of them were strong enough to go out and plow the fields, and since they couldn't plow the fields, they couldn't plant, and since they couldn't plant, they couldn't harvest, and since they couldn't harvest, they had to live on what they could glean in the fields of those around. And Ruth comes back and she says to Naomi, Naomi didn't go out to the men and to the elders in the community and say, I came back and this young woman is going to take care of me, be kind to her. She doesn't say that. Naomi is a bitter believer. Now we know that this can happen among Christians. We know that circumstances in this world come upon us and we let them overcome us. But this isn't what God says. God says that everything that comes into our life, it comes in there for a purpose. He knows all the things that are going to happen to believers. He knows that you're going to get sick. He knows that you're going to die. He knows that the car is going to have an accident and it will be destroyed and you don't have money to buy another car. He knows that your house will catch on fire. He knows that your grandchildren will run away. He knows that you'll have heartbreaks. He knows all the things that happen to us as believers. And he cares. And he sends these things into our lives for a purpose. And we, by faith, are asked to believe that God watches over us and cares for us. And everything is for the perfecting of his saints. He wants to make us into that one that will be perfect and fit to be his son's bride. And that's what he's doing with Ruth and Naomi. And so Ruth comes back and she tells Naomi, let me go out into the fields and glean and see if anyone will let me into the fields, because there is no guarantee that anyone is going to let her into their fields to glean. She is a Moabite. And although we read it and it doesn't have the tone that was evident there, if you understand what was happening, this time of Ruth is not probably too long after the story in the book of Judges of King Eglon, who was the Moabite king, who was a bitter, bitter conqueror of Israel at this time. This is probably not too long after that. And the memory is still there. And so she goes out into the field, and it says in the scriptures, by hap she comes on to a place of a field owned by Boaz, who was a relative, a near relative of Elimelech. And she's gleaning out into the field, and I gave you the illustration of how she's out there, and Boaz comes, and she's probably terrified, this young woman. And she hears him coming. And she knows that this is the man who has her fate in his hands. And she is over there and she's probably looking down at the ground in submission. And she's listening very, very intently. And she hears what Boaz says. And Boaz in verse 8 says, hearest thou not, my daughter? What's going to come next? What will be the next phrase out of his mouth? He tells her to stay there in his field. He tells her to stay here in my field and glean as long as there is harvest. Verse 10, and she falls on her face and bows herself to the ground. And she says unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That is the key verse in chapter 2. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. And that also is in chapter 3. And we're going to cover that. Now let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we ask you to give us some wisdom and some understanding from the book of Ruth this morning and this evening. As we cover chapter 3, show us what you would have us to know. Suit a message to everyone here within the sound of my voice as they hear the words of scriptures read and as they envision in their own minds what is going on. As the Holy Spirit speaks to each and every one of us and has a message for each and every one of us specially suited for us today, may we take it in, may we drink it in, and may it build us up. This we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. In all of chapter 1 and 2, we have the story of these two lost souls. Naomi has no one to take care of her. She has no children to provide for her needs in her old age. And we have Ruth, who is an outsider, who has no husband, has no hope of getting a husband in Israel. She is a foreigner, and she is a young woman, and she has committed her life for the rest of her life to live as in destitute poverty. Boaz is a rich man, it says, a man of great wealth and stature, a man who is an elder in the community, a man who would be looked up to. He would be one that people would look up to, but Boaz is an old man here. Why doesn't Boaz come forth as a kinsman redeemer? We come to the end of chapter 2, and Boaz shows kindness as a master to this young woman, and he grants her, as a landowner, he grants her right to come and glean in his field. And as a nobleman, as an elder in the community, he stands forward, and in chapter 2 we talked about how he protects her and how he says that you will leave this lady alone and you will let her be under my protection. And he tells the young man not to molest her. But he doesn't come forward as the redeemer. He doesn't come forward and say, Naomi, you come into my house. Ruth, you come into my house. I will provide for you for the rest of your life. As your near kinsman, I take that place as a redeemer. Why doesn't he do it? Then said Naomi, her mother-in-law, chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put upon thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. This is the third theme that I want to talk about this morning. In this very first verse of chapter 3, and also in the very last verse of chapter 3, we have a conversation between these two women. These two women that have a great need. They have an emptiness in their life that can't be filled. They are without hope. in themselves. And they're having this conversation between each other in the beginning here, and they say, Naomi says to Ruth, shouldn't I provide for your rest? Now, if you go back to chapter 1 and verse 8 and verse 9, the same concept is brought up by Naomi to the two daughters-in-laws. And Naomi said in verse 8 of chapter 1, said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. He's talking about this rest, this abiding, this place for them to dwell, a place where they will be part of something, where they will have a companion, where they will be fulfilled, where they will have a purpose, where they were meant to be. But here in verse 1 of chapter 3, we have these two women that do not have that. And so Naomi turns to Ruth and she says, Boaz is a near kinsman. He hasn't come forward yet. He hasn't decided to come forward and do the duty that he is supposed to do. So you go down tonight to where he is winnowing barley. And you go down there, and after he has winnowed barley all day long and he's tired, bone tired, and after he's had some food and drink to eat at the end of the night, as the sun is going down and it's getting dark and he can't see anymore, and he lays himself down to sleep, you go down and mark where he lays down and go and uncover his feet and lay down. I can see her curling up like my dog used to do at his feet, at my feet, curl up at his feet and wait and see what he says. And later on, when we get to verse 18, again, at the last verse of this chapter, we again have these two women that are talking one with another. And what is the theme that they're talking about? Then she said, now Naomi again is speaking to Ruth, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be at rest until he have finished the thing this day. We again have this word rest. It's the same word. Now, it isn't Naomi. It isn't Ruth. It is Boaz that is seeking rest. It is Boaz that will not put down the task before him until it is accomplished. And what is that task? It is what we're going to talk about tonight. It is chapter 4. It is the Redeemer. It is the work of the Redeemer, and how the work of the Redeemer takes those that are without hope, those that have no rest, those that are only part of what they should be, and makes them complete. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, you all know this verse. Jesus is speaking, and he is addressing this same issue with us. He's addressing this same issue with his disciples. He speaks to our heart. No matter what the circumstances we find ourselves in, there are things that cause us anxiety, things that cause us pain, things that we don't know how to deal with. And what should we do when we are faced with those situations? Jesus says in verse 28 of chapter 11 of Matthew, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Boaz in the Old Testament is the clearest illustration that we have of this concept of the Redeemer. He is a man beyond reproach. As a matter of fact, it speaks about him in chapter 2. It says that he was a man of wealth, or it says, it doesn't use the word wealth in the Hebrew. What it means is a man of great integrity, a man of great value because of the character of the person of the man. And we talked about that. We talked about why Boaz was made specifically for Ruth, if you remember. I hate going over so much of this, but I think it's so important for you to understand. We found out from Matthew, in the first chapter of Matthew, that Boaz had a mother. And it tells us his mother's name. His mother's name was Rahab. She was a harlot. She was a foreigner. She was the woman at Jericho who let the cord out of the window and let the two spies out. This is Boaz's mother. And I told you as a child when Boaz used to walk with his mother down to get the water from the well, he would hear the other children. He would hear the other women speaking about her. That's Rahab. That's the harlot. And I said that pierced his little soul and hurt him, just like Naomi hurt Ruth. But now Boaz, out there in the field as an old man, he's probably in his 60s, he sees this young girl. He knows what she's going to go through and what she is going through. And he has a warm spot, a tender spot in his heart that has been prepared just exactly for Ruth by God. Even before he was formed in his mother's womb, even before the children of Israel came into the land of Israel, God was already planning for Boaz to be prepared to meet Ruth in that field. We look at things and we say, well, why did that have to happen? Do you believe that God really plans these things in advance? If you understand the scriptures as we look through these scriptures, why do you think it specifically says that Boaz's mother was Rahab? Why do you think he gives us these exact words to this woman named Ruth in this field on this day? Because God wants us to know that he has all of our lives planned out for us. He knows that we will sin. He knows that we'll fall by the wayside. He knows that there are Naomis among us who are weak and who do things that hurt ourselves. He knows that there are Elimelechs. But he loves each and every one of us, and he has a plan for us. And in the last day, when we stand before him, he'll in tenderness explain to us why he did what he did. In John chapter 15, Jesus is going to talk about this resting place in a different fashion. He speaks about it in John chapter 15 as abiding. I'll begin reading in verse 4. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's speaking to the Father, and he is revealing his heart feelings that he has towards his Father and his Father's feelings towards him. And he is telling us, as he gives us these words, that these are the same feelings that he has towards us. This resting place that he seeks for those that will be his bride, those that will be called out from among men for himself, given to him by his Father, chosen by his Father as a love gift to his Son. Because he wants to make a bride that is perfect for his Son. And every believer, I don't care whether that believer is wayward or not, every believer has been chosen by God as being perfect for his Son. Sometimes we look at other believers and we say, oh man, that guy is a pain. I wish he wasn't the way he is. And sometimes we even in the hardness of our hearts, we exclude or we hurt or we push aside brethren. The New Testament, it tells us about that. It says that we are all part one of another. Every one of us is extremely important to God. And without every believer, the body will be incomplete. Without the last one, no matter who we are, no matter who that person is, no matter how unappealing they are to us, in God's eyes, they are extremely important. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This is an indication, this is a glimpse into the heart of God. He has this plan where he is going to take that which is unlovely, that which is foreign, that which is cursed, that which are widows, those that are old, those that have no hope. He is going to gather them from all over the world, and he is going to make them his own. He is going to purchase them back. He is going to redeem them. Ruth carries out to the letter exactly what Naomi tells her to do. She is obedient. And because she is obedient, God blesses her. Ruth is a person of great character. If you look at this person of Ruth, she is not only obedient, but she is self-sacrificing. She doesn't push herself forward. She lets those that are over her and have authority over her have their rightful place. She does everything that I can see in this short passage that we have about her, as God would have us to act. And then we get down to this verse that says, oh, let's see, where is it? Wait a minute. Verse 9, okay. Let me continue reading in verse 8. She uncovers in verse 7, she uncovers his feet, and she lays down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. What does this mean? What is happening here at this night? Ruth, as I gave you the illustration, he's worked hard all day, he's tired. He goes to bed, and when he goes to bed, it says that he was merry in his heart. When he goes to bed, he's not troubled. When Boaz lays down, he has a big heaping pile of corn that he has winnowed. He feels satisfied that he has worked hard all day, that he has brought in the bounty of the Lord. He's looking at all these things. He says, I feel good in my soul. And he lays down, and his heart is at peace. And yet, at midnight, he wakes up, And it says that he is troubled. He's having thoughts go through his mind that were put in there by God, and he cannot sleep. Why? Because he hasn't done what God wanted him to do. And we too, like Boaz, are sometimes waking in the middle of the night and we can't sleep. Has that ever happened to any of you? It's happened to me many, many times. And so when I get up in the middle of the night and I have trouble going back to sleep, one thing we do is we may go to a medicine cabinet and take a sleeping pill. Another thing we may do is we may get up and we may walk around a bit. We may go out and we may turn on the TV and stare at the blank screen, you know, the test pattern in the middle of the night for a while until we get sleepy. Or we may go and read. Or we may ask God, why did you wake me up, Lord? What is it you want to say to me tonight? What is it in my life that I'm not doing that I should be thinking about, and tomorrow morning when the sun gets up, I should go and do it? He gets up and he's afraid. He looks at his feet and there's a woman. Where did she come from? Who is this woman? It's dark. He can't see her. Who's there? And he hears the voice. It is Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread now thy skirt over me. Well, what does this spreading of the skirt over her mean? Well, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 16. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 16, we have a very, very good explanation of what this is all about. Ezekiel chapter 16 is a passage of scripture which God is speaking through Ezekiel, and he's talking about his people, the people that he has sought for himself. And we have here an analogy where he speaks of the children of Israel that he has sought for himself as this child that was born and thrown out into the wilderness to die. Just born and aborted by its mother, and is thrown out there in the wilderness to bake under the sun, still covered in the blood of its birth, still with a placenta attached, left there to bleed and to die and to wither and to be devoured by the animals. And God comes along and he sees the child out there and he takes it to himself. And he washes it, and he supples it, and he clothes it, and he feeds it, and he cares for it, and he raises it, and he loves it. And in verse 8, now when I passed by thee and look upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. God is forming this covenant, this bond. He is saying that you are to be my wife. You are to be the completion that makes me whole. And I am to be your head, the one that makes you whole. And the two of us, as he says back in Genesis, and the two shall become one. This is always God's plan. This is what he is trying to show us from the beginning. His plan for us is to take that which is separate and to make them into one. And the spreading of the skirt over the person is a covenant. It's a symbol. It's saying that you are now mine. You are under my protection. I am yours and you are mine. And we will always be for each other. And there will be no others. It will be you and me. And we will be one. It's interesting because this spreading of the skirt is the exact, in the Hebrew, is the exact same phrase, the exact same meaning, the same root as what we have that Boaz told her back in chapter 2, where he says, under whose wings thou art come to trust. This is the same, it's the same word that's used. Back in chapter 2, Boaz says, you have put yourself under the skirt of the Lord. And now Ruth is saying, listen, Boaz, listen to the words that you gave me. It is your responsibility as the Redeemer to do what you said God was going to do. When he gives you the charge to become the Redeemer because you are a near kinsman, it is your responsibility. Now, I am asking you, please, do what God has instructed you to do and spread your skirt over me. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now, it is true that I am a near kinsman. However, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she arose up before one could know another, and he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. So, this to me is an interesting thing. I like to, when I read through the scriptures, I like to make images in my mind of what's going on. And I'm trying to imagine what it's like. I was over in Africa, as I told you, and I used to watch the men go up on the top of the hill, and I used to watch them winnow, just as Boaz used to do. They had their wooden pitchforks, and they would throw the grain into the air, and the wind would blow away the chaff, and it would fall back down, and they would have the donkeys and the oxen just walking around, dragging a board behind them, breaking the chaff off of the grain, and then they would continue all day throwing it, and it was back-breaking work, believe me. And they would do it in the heat of the day. And at night, those men slept well. And here we have Boaz. He is bone tired and he's falling asleep. And he gets up in the middle of the night and he has this dream. And now he's got this woman and he's talking to her, Ruth. And she has pricked his conscience. He knows that something has to be done and it hasn't been done. And so he says to her, I will do it. Now lay down and go back to sleep. Lay down and wait until the morning. Now I ask you, if you were Ruth, would you go to sleep lying at the foot there in the middle of the night, not knowing what tomorrow will hold? Will this man be my husband? Will I be rejected? Will he take me before the elders? What will happen the next morning? That's one of them. There are three people in this chapter. What do you think Naomi is doing back there in that little tiny mud hut? What is she thinking that night? She has sent her daughter that loves her out to lie at the feet of this man in the middle of the night. What is she thinking in her heart? What is Boaz saying to Ruth? What is he doing? What is going on? I think maybe Naomi is not sleeping so well that night either. And I don't think Boaz ever went back to sleep after midnight either. He laid there all night thinking, what will happen tomorrow? What is it that God is doing here? All my life I've been alone. Why is it that Boaz is single? He's an old man. We know that. He's an old man and he has no family at all. Why? I think it's possible that the reason that Boaz never married was because his mother was a harlot and a foreigner. And although he's a righteous man and a man of wealth, there is a stigma attached to him. And he's all alone in life, and he's getting near the end of his life, and he has no son to give his inheritance to. So here's a man that has no one to give his inheritance to. Here's an old woman that has no child to take care of her in old age. And here is a young foreign woman who has no one that can marry her. And God is going to take these three, which are all without hope, and he is going to bring them together as one and make them perfect. And she lay down at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another, and he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor," because he's concerned about her reputation. Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, that is about 50 pounds of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, that is, see, it's still dark, and her mother-in-law can't exactly see her. And the mother-in-law says, Naomi says, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Do you hear those words? This is a very gentle rebuke on the part of the Lord to Naomi, and to all of us Naomis. Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. She's not empty. We're never empty in the Lord. We may not have someone beside us, but we are never alone. We may not have money in the bank or food in our bowls, but we will never be hungry, because he feeds us with himself. He gives us all the riches of himself. All the riches of the Son of God belong to those that will be his bride. Go not empty unto thy mother. Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be at rest until he have finished the thing this day." The Redeemer will not be at rest until it is finished. I would like you all to read the book of Ruth today, especially chapter 4, when you come back tonight. We will be looking into the conclusion of the book of Ruth, and we'll speak about the Redeemer and his work.